From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
VOI listener, welcome back with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting info, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz, and website voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirms Indonesia has big opportunity to achieve Golden Indonesia 2045. Indonesia to become a leader in creative industries in Asia. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo affirmed that Indonesia has a huge opportunity to achieve the Golden Indonesia 2045 vision owing to the demographic bonus that will reach its peak in 2030. He conveyed this on the occasion of Youth Pledge Day uploaded Saturday. The President affirmed that Indonesian people could make the most of this opportunity with two big strategies, including preparing Indonesia's human resources and the downstreaming industry. The President said that human resources were prepared to enter the workforce productively. Meanwhile, he noted that natural resources in Indonesia should have added value and improve the welfare of people. Indonesian National Police Chief General Listio Sigit Prabowo urged all parties to ensure that political differences during the 2024 elections do not hurt the unity of Indonesian society. He stressed on Saturday that the implementation of the elections, which takes place every 5 years, would be carried out smoothly. The National Police Chief also invited all parties to maintain a dignified politics. According to him, whoever is elected as the next Indonesian leader must be able to encourage development to achieve a Golden Indonesia by 2045. In addition, the National Police Chief called for continued synergy and solidity between the military and police and ministries or institutions in order to face the election implementation stages. The Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment is holding the Asian Creative and Digital Economy Youth Summit on October the 28th and 29th at Taman Mini Indonesia Indah Jakarta. Deputy for Tourism and Creative Economy of the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Odo Manuhutu, on Saturday explained that this event was held to bring together young people in Asia so they could collaborate, especially in the digital economy. First, the aim is to provide opportunities for young people under 35 years old, especially 18 to 35 years, in the Asian region to come together and collaborate in the digital economy and also the creative economy. They come together, they can find solutions, and secondly, create added value for the economy of the Asian region. He further stated that the Asian Creative and Digital Economy Youth Summit is an initiative to encourage collective action between actors and stakeholders in the creative and digital industry in Asia. The summit was attended by hundreds of young creative economy professionals from the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, China, Japan, and Korea. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Israeli forces waged ground operations against Hamas in Gaza on Sunday, October the 29th, in what Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called the second phase of a three-week-old war aimed at crushing the Palestinian militant group. Gaza's besieged residents face a near-total communications and internet blackout as Israel's warplanes drop bombs and its troops and armor push into the Hamas-ruled enclave, with Israeli military chiefs signaling they were gearing up for an expanded ground offensive. Speaking at a press conference in Tel Aviv on Saturday, Netanyahu warned Israelis to expect a long and hard campaign, but stopped short of calling the current incursion an invasion. Some of the U.S. President Joe Biden's aides have advised Israeli counterparts to hold off on an immediate all-out assault, U.S. officials have said. The U.N. human rights chief on Saturday warned of possibly catastrophic consequences of a large-scale ground operation in the Gaza Strip, where thousands have already died in Israeli airstrikes. Volker Turk, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, said in a statement. He also condemned the internet and telecommunication blackout that has hit the Palestinian enclave since Friday. South Korean and U.S. troops held joint future combat drills involving drones, an unmanned vehicle, and wearable laser sensors this week as part of efforts to modernize their militaries, Seoul's army said on Saturday. The training came as South Korea's military conduct a series of annual Hoguk Autumn exercises aimed at improving responses to North Korea's nuclear and missile threats. The drills also mobilize various high-tech weapon systems aimed at beefing up future combat capabilities, with the troops wearing multiple integrated laser engagement systems, which uses lasers to simulate actual battle. Last item. Prime Minister of Singapore, Lee Hsien Loong, on Saturday expressed his condolences over the death of former Chinese Premier Li Qiang on Friday, called him a statesman who served his country with great dedication. The Prime Minister said there were several key bilateral milestones during Li Qiang's tenure as Premier. These include the establishment of the China-Singapore or Chongqing Demonstration Initiative on Strategic Connectivity, the launch of the Singapore-China or Shenzhen Smart City Initiative, as well as the upgraded protocol of the China-Singapore Free Trade Agreement. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Spotlight of the week is on President's working visit to Sumatra Island. Indonesian President Joko Widodo paid a working visit to Sumatra Island to inaugurate Mentawai Airport, the Trans-Sumatra Toll Road, and to visit the practical learning process at a vocational school. Quoting the official website of the State Secretariat on Thursday, October the 26th, President Joko Widodo, upon inaugurating Mentawai Airport, expressing the hope that the presence of the airport could facilitate people's mobility and increase tourism potential in the Mentawai Islands. He believed that the Mentawai Airport can open up economic access and improve the welfare of the local community. On the same day, President Joko Widodo reviewed the learning process that took place at a state vocational high school in Padang, West Sumatra. President Joko Widodo said students' skills and expertise must be improved continuously through practical learning programs at vocational schools. He also appreciated that the learning program provided can give students the opportunity to further sharpen their skills so that they can be needed by the industrial world. Apart from that, on Thursday, October the 26th, the president also inaugurated the 64.5 kilometers Indralaya Prabumuli section of the Trans-Sumatra Toll Road in Ogan Ilir Regency, South Sumatra. According to the president, this toll road can shorten travel time from Lampung to Palembang. The distance between Palembang to Lampung, which previously took 10 to 12 hours, now can be reached in only 3.5 hours with toll road access. That was Spotlight of the Week.
maju, ayo maju, maju.
I'll start today in history with October the 29th, 1960. Muhammad Ali wins his first professional match. Muhammad Ali was a boxer born in Louisville, Kentucky, United States. He fought in professional boxing after winning a gold medal in light heavyweight boxing at the 1960 Olympics in Rome, Italy. On October the 29th, 1960, Muhammad Ali, still using his birth name Cassius Clay, won his first professional match. He, at 18 years old, succeeded in 6 rounds over Tony Hunsaker. After winning his professional match debut, Cassius Clay continued to win until he finally succeeded in challenging the world heavyweight champion, then in Sonny Liston's hands. After embracing Islam, his name changed to Muhammad Ali. Turning to October the 29, 2005, explosions in New Delhi. On October the 29, 2005, 3 explosions occurred in New Delhi, India. At least 59 people were killed and 200 others, including several foreigners, were injured. The bombing occurred just 2 days before the major Hindu and Sikh festival Deepavali, and less than a week before the Islamic celebration of Idul Fitri. Bombs were exploded into markets in central and south New Delhi and near a bus in the Jovinpuri area in the city south. The little-known group called Islamic Inqilab Mahas claimed responsibility for the incident. I'll end today in history with October the 29th, 2015, China abolishes the one-child policy. On October the 29th, 2015, China's ruling party, the Communist Party of China, announced it would abolish the one-child policy that has been in place for decades. The policy was implemented by the state from 1978 to 2015 as a family planning policy. About 76% of the population supports this policy. The policy, introduced by Chinese leader Deng Xiaoping in 1979 to reduce the country's population, successfully averted approximately 500 million births from 1970 to 2015. After the one-child policy was implemented, the birth rate in China fell from 2.63 births per woman in 1980 to 1.61 in 2009. The two-child policy came into effect on January 1, 2016. The decision aims to balance population development according to gender. That was Today in History.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply to an email from Andrew Kuznetsov in Letland. He was listening to our broadcast in German language through frequency 3325 kHz on September 9, 2023 with SINPO 23322. Hello sir, thank you so much for your reception report. I forwarded your report to the German section, so please wait for the reply. As appreciation, I will play a beautiful song special for you. Here is the song.
Bisa berikan padamu segalanya, hanya kehadiran untuk selalu ada, bahkan jika harus saat ini juga. Tunggu di sana sejenak saja. Oh yeah, kuatkan nada untuk bersamamu. Yeah.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Today's edition will give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia participates in the 2023 Global Esport Championship in Turkey. Indonesia sent 4 esports teams to compete in the PlayerUnknown's Battleground or PUBG Mobile Global Championship 2023. Indonesian Pride Young PUBG athletes will compete in the final round of the PUBG Mobile Global Championship from November the 2nd until 10 in Istanbul, Turkey. They will fight to make Indonesia proud and chase a total prize of $3 million. The 4 participants from Indonesia are the Alter Ego Ares team, Persija Evos, Morph GPX, and Bites Red Villains. Bambang Mugono, Chief of Staff of the Secretary General of the Indonesian Esport Executive Board in Jakarta on Wednesday, October the 25th, said that the board hopes Indonesian esport athletes will do the best to achieve maximum performance in this prestigious competition. In his speech upon sending off the athletes, Bambang Mugono expressed his full support for the Indonesian athletes who will compete for a whole month in the competition. According to him, the prestigious competition is present to strengthen the esport ecosystem in Indonesia. Bambang Mugono hopes Indonesian athletes can bring home the best achievements as they did previously in 2019. Meanwhile, country manager for Level Infinite, Agung Chaniago, hopes that the athletes who take part in the competition in Turkey will bring a good name to the nation. He expressed optimism about the abilities of Indonesian athletes, especially due to the strong achievements of Indonesian's esport teams at Southeast Asia in particular and Asia in general. Agung Chaniago explained that Indonesia is one of the toughest teams that will compete in this competition. There are around 60 to 20 participating countries. Countries from every continent will compete against Southeast Asia that is deemed as the strongest, and Indonesia is one of them. That was My Indonesia Today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, now we will reply to a letter from Muhammad Ashik Iqbal in Bangladesh. Hello, sir. Thank you for your letter. I will send our QSL card as soon as possible. So keep listening to our broadcast and please do not forget to send your reception report. Well, Mr. Ashik Iqbal, here is a beautiful song to brighten up your day. Enjoy.
You should know by now that I feel so good somehow inside. Ever since day one, I knew you were the one inside.
Ever since day one, I knew you were the one inside.
Still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 and 4750 kHz and website voinews.id. For the next segment, we'll present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
The cities of Solo, Semarang, and Yogyakarta in Central Java are well known for having interesting tourist attractions and culinary delights. But there is one place that is approximately 35 kilometers from Solo City, which also has tourist attractions that are no less awe-inspiring, called Ganci Selo Boyolali Hill. Located in Selondur Hamlet, Selo Village, Boyolali Regency, Central Java Province. The main concept of the Bukit Ganci Selo Boyolali tourist destination is a viewing post. From the top of the viewing post, visitors can enjoy the natural charm of Selo Village with houses and plantation areas, and directly enjoy the beauty of Mount Merapi. Surrounded by lots of green trees and plants, the Ganci Selo Hill area is indeed very beautiful. Ganci Selo Hill has a height of around 1,850 meters above sea level and is at the foot of Mount Merbabu. The altitude makes the air around Ganci Selo Hill pleasantly cool. Small wonder people like to linger here. Ganci Selo Hill has several viewing posts. Each one is connected to another by a bamboo bridge, making it easier for visitors to get around the tourist area. When taking photos on the hill, visitors can also hunt for the beauty of the sunrise and sunset. Apart from being a natural tourist attraction, Ganci Selo Hill is also often used as a new climbing route to nearby Mount Merbabu. To make it easier to travel to Ganci Selo Hill, which is located in Boyolali, the management has provided various tourist facilities such as photo spots, a large parking area, public toilets, motorbike taxis, food stalls, and also camping areas. There is no accommodation such as hotels or inns. The distance from the city center or Boyolali Square to the Ganci Selo Hill tourist attraction is around 22 kilometers. The road access is relatively good, even though you have to encounter several uphill parts. It is recommended to use a vehicle that is in good condition to conquer the hill. Clear clouds and favorable weather are the best times to travel here. It is recommended to come early in the morning to enjoy the sunrise from behind Mount Lawu, or visit in the late afternoon to watch the stunning sunset. So, if you are in Solo, look for the right time to visit this tourist spot. That was Indonesian Wonder today.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Before Before we end our segment, listeners' mailbag, I will read a postcard from Stefan Lipsius in Kosovo. Hello, sir. Thank you for your postcard. Your postcard has been forwarded to the German section. Please wait for the reply. Well, listener, before I sign out listeners' mailbag program, I will play a beautiful song. So let's check this one out. Coming up next, we have two programs in a row called Miscellany and Music Corner. Enjoy!
Today's Miscellany is featuring University of Gajah Mada team creates carbon capture device. A number of Gajah Mada University students develop innovative integrated carbon gas or CO2 absorber technology that can be monitored in real time based on smart sensors. Head of the technology development team, Jafir Ahmad explained that this technology can capture CO2 gas from the air through a physical absorption process with a membrane made from coconut shell extract. He said the technology was named CAPTURE, which is the abbreviation of Carbon Abatement Performance Tracking and Utilization with Real-Time Evaluation. The development of this tool was motivated by the desire to support Indonesia's efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, both at regional and global levels. Jafir Ahmad explained that the biggest obstacles in absorbing CO2 gas that has been released into the atmosphere is the wide distribution area, so a tool is needed to direct air containing carbon dioxide into a filter that is able to specifically capture it from the air. Therefore, his team initiated the development of technology to capture carbon dioxide gas from the air through a physical absorption process with a membrane made from coconut shell extract. This is because coconut shells are very abundant in Indonesia and have not been utilized optimally. According to Jafir Ahmad, this coconut shell contains low ash content, lots of micropores, and has high reactivity. Then, from several journals, it is known that coconut shells have been widely used as carbon filters and have shown good results. Development team member Wahyu T. Wicaksono added that CAPTURE works by absorbing ambient air into the system. The incoming air is then filtered with a macrofilter and a carbon filter as an absorbent so that the results can be monitored directly regarding both the air condition and the quality of the absorbent filter. Carbon-free air and filter saturation can also be observed in real time. The tool is planned to be used in green buildings. It works by drawing air from outside the building, capturing the carbon elements in the air, then passing the clean air into the building. That was Miscellany Today.
Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Biar aku menyayangi dirimu. mencintaimu seumur hidupku. Dan biarkanlah aku habiskan sisa hidupku denganmu.
Hello VOI listener, today's Music Corner presents a song by Hedi Yunus. Hedi Sulaiman, better known as Hedi Yunus, is an Indonesian singer and actor born on August 24, 1968. As a singer, Hedi Yunus is known as a member of Kahitna Music Group and also a soloist. As a soloist, on October 23, 2023, he released a song entitled Hanya Memuji, or in English means Just a Compliment. Previously, this song was popularized by the duet Shanti and Marcel Siahaan in the early 2000s. Hedi Yunus' version of Hanya Memuji sounds familiar but has a new energy that is different from the original version. The charm of this song can still be felt with a beat that invites listeners to dance. The presence of this song becomes even fresher because almost all of Hedi's previous release singles have a mellow theme with slow music. In fact, at the age of 55, Hedi Yunus actually challenged himself by releasing an upbeat song complete with attractive dance choreography, which he shows through music video of this single. Well, listener, here is the song Hanya Memuji by Hedi Yunus. Enjoy!
Sejenak dagu pun terpana melihat dia di depanku. Dia menjerat hatiku, menatapku tajam. Di sini di dalam dadaku ada getar lugu dan kusebut. Dia menjerat hatiku, menatapku tajam. Ku akui tubuhku melunglai, sempat ku memuji dalam hatiku. Jangan pikir aku kan mencinta, ku hanya kasih.
bergetar lugu tak ku sebut. Dia menjerat hatiku, menatapku, oh tajam. Ku akui tubuhku melulai, sempat ku memuji dalam hatiku. Jangan pikir aku kan mencinta, ku hanya kagumi, hanya memuji. Dia menjerat hatiku, menatapku, oh tajam. Ku akui tubuhku melunglai, sempat ku memuji dalam hatiku. Jangan pikir aku kan mencinta, ku hanya kagumi, hanya memuji. Tuhan katakan diri ini pun tak cinta, biar berteman saja, biarlah. Ku akui tubuhku melunglai, sempat ku memuji dalam hatiku. Jangan pikir aku kan mencinta, ku hanya kagumi, hanya memuji. Sempat ku memuji dalam hatiku. Jangan pikir aku kan mencinta, ku hanya kagumi memuji.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Juga memperbaiki hatinya yang sedih, sedih, sedih. Mohon Tuhan, berikan kasih sayang. Biarkanlah dia pulang
dan tersenyum lagi.
Oh Tuhan, bantulah dia berdiri dan juga memperbaiki hatinya yang
sedih, sedih, sedih.
Mohon Tuhan,
mohon Tuhan.
Of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Cinta. Ini tentang bertemunya dua manusia dengan sejuta mimpinya, saling menguatkan. Layaknya senja yang mungkin mulai meredup, tapi pagi akan selalu hadir menopangnya.
Percayakah kau bahwa kita ada untuk menjadi cerita atas adil Tuhan? Telah saatnya ku berhenti bertanya, ruang dan waktu menjawabnya dengan hadirmu. Dalam sederhana kisahku yang
atas tanah ini, di hadapan luasnya semesta, alam akan menjadi saksi bahwa saya mencintaimu. Tapi saya sadar, ini bukan hanya soal cinta. Lebih dari itu, sejuta mimpi telah membawa kita ke sini.
VOA listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325 and 4750 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official, and also send an email to voi@voinews.id or simply chat us on WhatsApp +62 821 2381 2130, +62 821 2381 2130. So I'm Rahma signing out, and bye for now.